The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly, and who was ill and was close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, the sound of babies crying is life. All right? Don't be embarrassed. And graduates, a special word of grace and peace to you. You will also find out what it's like to sit in church with a hot robe on. It won't be long. As part of the Catholic Mass, before communion, they often say, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed." If you didn't know the context of those words before, you do today. A Roman centurion sent for Jesus because he had a slave that was gravely ill. Now, when we were all in Sunday school, these were just words to us. Oh, a centurion, that's a Bible word. Doesn't mean anything. Slave, yeah, they had slaves in the Bible. Doesn't mean anything. But it does. So much so. This text is actually, it's packed and it's complicated. Because on one hand, it leads us to believe that if we just have enough faith, Jesus will answer our commands. And it sets us up for thinking of Jesus as a genie in a bottle. And that always gets us in trouble. And yet we know God answers our prayers. God hears our prayers. And Jesus did a lot of healing as he walked the earth and taught and preached and ministered. Still does. Not always in the ways we think he does, but he still does. I don't know about you, Anders, but one of the things they taught us in seminary, when we studied the Gospels, was to look for what's offensive. What would offend my everyday sensibilities? And in this text, I think many of us would have to say, well, a Roman soldier was telling Jesus what to do. Rome occupied Israel. Rome made the life of God's people as difficult and as oppressive as they could. Rome, Roman centurions, weren't exactly the people you'd like to meet in a dark alley at night. Nor would you want to meet them anytime during the day. Okay? Paint this picture in your mind. So this Roman centurion sends Jewish leaders to Jesus. You see, we're already setting up the scenario of the crucifixion. The Jewish leaders and the Roman leaders got a good deal out of being in cahoots with each other. If we can keep each other comfortable at a leadership level, at the top of the top, what happens to everybody else really doesn't matter. So the Jewish leaders come to Jesus, and they try to prove to Jesus how worthy this centurion is. He helped build our temple. He really does love our people. Okay, so we're setting up us against them. He really does love our people. Jesus, you really ought to heal this kid, this slave. But that wasn't what was behind the centurion's request. At a distance, he said, No, I would not presume to have you come to my house. But I know you have authority. And I understand authority. And he says, speak. I don't presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. And from a distance, the servant was healed. This would have been very offensive to people in the early church. They knew the Romans. They didn't like the Romans. And Jesus healed a Roman centurion's slave. How dare he? It was a subversive act. But he did it by his authority. The authority of the Word of God. And that's what I want to point us toward today. Not a genie in a bottle. Not a God we have to prove ourselves to. Because we can't. You see, we all live by grace. We are all beloved of God by grace as a free gift. Our second reading started in Galatians chapter 1 today. And we're going to be doing a series of readings in Galatians for the next number of weeks. And if you're not quite sure what the grace of God is all about, read the book of Galatians. It's only 6 chapters. To you, those of you who don't have any more reading required, Read Galatians. We don't have to deserve God's love or God's mercy or God's healing. But God wants to give it. And God has the authority to give it. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it is so outrageous and it is so countercultural. God wants to give it to everybody, not just insiders. And that's why this text is so outrageous. The Jews would say, we hate the Romans. They are our oppressors. Why would you do something nice for them? And I want us to think to ourselves, and I certainly won't put anybody on the spot here, who would you say that about in your own heart? I hate XYZ. Why would God want to do anything for them? And if you can do that honestly, you'll have an idea why the gospel is so outrageous. It's outrageous in a good way for those who have ears to hear. It means despite our own failings, our own flaws, Jesus died on a cross for us, for our sake. He gave himself, he poured himself out for the sins of the world. For us. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have fallen in battle. I have a grandfather I never met because he was mustard gassed in World War I. The cost of war has been tremendous. And we honor those who have sacrificed themselves for the sake of their country. But it's also time for us to give pause and think about war more somberly than I think we do. To think about the cost each time we choose weapons over diplomacy. We've had the ability since the 1960s to end world hunger. Imagine. And I know our people love to feed people because I think you can imagine this. Imagine if we would have put even a fraction of the money and energy into feeding the world than we have getting revenge on our enemies. I'm not saying war has necessarily been unnecessary. I just think we need to think more somberly about it and about the cost. Jesus healed the enemy's slave. In our first reading, Solomon is introducing the new temple, the temple that God allowed him to create so people would have a place to go and feel like God is here. And in his address, Solomon says this needs to be a house where all who call out to God can be heard. God, hear the prayers of the stranger, of the foreigner, of the outcast. Hear the prayers of any who call to you. And Jesus, in our text for today, was evidence of that being fulfilled. Jesus heard the cries, not only of the insider faithful, but of the enemy. The authority of God, the magnitude of the authority of God, who chose love and healing, boggles my mind and will keep me scratching my head and trying to figure this out for the rest of my life. I invite all of us, together if we're able, to keep growing, to keep our faith green and alive, to keep our faith community lively and growing. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in this Christ Jesus. Amen.